This is a busy, busy day. Lots on the agenda, and we tend to add more and more to the agenda. We have one little item before we get going. Last week, we had a panel discussion with Ruth and Kristen and Sarah, and Susan was the moderator. And during that session at the end, we were talking about the hub then as well. And at the end of that session, Susan came up with an impromptu question to Sarah, Ruth, and Kristen, asking them if they were an animal, what would they be? And Sarah said she would be like Nemo the fish and just swimming on and on and on. Dory the fish. Sorry, Sarah. And Ruth said she'd be like a phoenix, rising again. And Kristen said she'd be like a bear. For her family, she was cuddly, but if you crossed her, she was fierce. And if you will remember last month, we had in our room over there an artist exhibiting Laurie Stein, and they had all sorts of animals. And we have one animal to present today to Kristen. I don't know if you can remember which one. It wasn't the dog paddle, but just a second. On behalf of all of us, we'd like you to accept a memento of being the spontaneity. That's what. Yeah, many of the players are absent today. Jim and Sandy Pitblado, unfortunately, were celebrating their 65th and recognizing their son David. Wendy Dryden is sidelined by the COVID as well. So here I am, Bob Medland. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Bob, and thank you. Thank you all. That is so meaningful. After that question that Susan asked, I've just been reflecting so much. That question was so revelatory. I thought, yeah, Ruth is the phoenix, and Sarah is the fish. And I've been reflecting more on being the bear, because for me, it really is. Afterwards, I kept thinking, like, oh, there was so much more I wish I'd said, but what it has to do with is being fierce about what I love. And you all are part of the community that I have been fiercely protecting and guarding ever since I stepped into this role, and I'm so proud to be your mother bear. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So I will absolutely treasure that piece. Thank you so much. Let's just take a moment. Let's take a moment as we move into this presentation, which Ruth and Susan are going to give on our new hub. Let's center ourselves in a moment of prayer and a moment of music as well. But let us pray. Living Spirit and loving God, we give thanks for your song of love that has been sung through humanity through the ages. We give thanks for the spirit of this song that is in this place and among our leaders and among our congregation. We give thanks for the expression of your spirit and your song in Gordon Lightfoot. And we pray for his family, that you are comforting them, and that you have gathered Gordon to you. We thank you for all the years that we were able to delight and find peace and perspective in his music here with us. We pray now for your spirit to be with Ruth and to be with Susan and to be in this place as we hear about how your song will be expressed now and next in this neighborhood. Hold us, guide us, and ground us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. On this Christmas Eve, we welcome Gordon with gratitude.
A ringing bell, shaven from the city that dreams. Ringing bell from the sanctuary across the valley and the streams. For the day when they're white, and the world's on the side. And time is running backwards, and so is the bride. A ring them bells, St. Peter, where the four winds blow. Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now on the wheel of the plow. The sun is a-going down upon the sacred cow. Ring them bells, sweet Martha, for the poor man's son. Ring them bells so the world will know that God is one. For the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep. And the mountains are filled with lost sheep. And you ring them bells for the blind and the deaf. I ring them bells for all of us who are left. I ring them bells for the chosen few who are just the many when the game is through. Ring them bells for the time that flies, for the child who cries when innocence dies. Ring them bells, St. Catherine, from the top of the roof. Ring them from the fortress for the lilies that bloom, for the lines are long and the fighting is strong. And they're breaking down the distance between the right and wrong.
Thank you, Kristen. And thank you, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you for staying. So I'm just getting used to these glasses, to be honest, and I can't necessarily read without them, but I also can't see you with them on. So You'll forgive me if I'm kind of up and down with this. I have to practice. I wanted to start my introduction today with some pithy quote on the value of change, or the process of change, or the journey of realizing what change is necessary. I thought of, "You must be the change you want to see in the world." It's inspiring, Mahatma Gandhi. Or, "A change is as good as a rest." Pithy, but not exactly on point with our hub planning. By the way, that was Stephen King. I'm surprised that that's the attribution. Anyway, change is the only constant in life. True, but again, not exactly on point. And that was Heraclitus. Then I realized the only words we need here are the ones that are already part of our fabric and our culture and indeed our beliefs. Learn, grow, serve. This is exactly what we must do right now to bring this vision and strategy to life as a hub for human flourishing. We have worked hard over the past 2.5 years through the pandemic on Zoom to learn what our community and neighborhood needs and wants from us. And if we do this properly, we will be open to continuing to learn. We will ask and listen and offer programs, and then we'll ask and listen again and tweak it and pivot and make sure we are providing relevant programs to those we want to engage. And we must grow. In many ways, we will grow our reach with communications. We will grow our traffic into our building, and from this, we'll grow, wait for it, our revenue. We may even grow our congregation, but that is not why we are doing this. The real reason we are doing this, I believe, is because we are called to serve. We are called to serve our community and our neighborhood in the unique ways that our building, location, and faith provide. For example, this sanctuary has exceptional acoustics and offers an excellent venue for concerts of all kinds. Our location here in the heart of Rosedale amongst the old growth trees and quiet green spaces is accessible by TTC with a bus stop right outside our door. And perhaps most importantly, our faith leads us to a unique kind of openness and acceptance and hospitality that means we can serve anyone who comes through our doors. Anyone at all, we are a safe space. And we are called to serve the future congregation so that the hub is generating the kind of revenue that will keep the doors open and the lights on, making this church sustainable for our children and our grandchildren and their children is certainly part of what our call to serve is now. So I couldn't get this quote out of my head the whole time I was trying to make these remarks. And it is, "Build it and they will come." It's the Field of Dreams. We have built it. People before us built it. It needs to be updated and tweaked, and it is up to us to do those things for the future. But it is built, and now all we have to do is invite them to come. I'd like to thank John Hall for his consult on this this version of this edit of our presentation. And I'd really like to thank Reverend Ruth Noble for her just undying and constant contribution and energy and thinking and willingness to be open and listen. That's the kind of thing that will make this successful. And we have a great team on board here. So I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Ruth to show us through the next 2 years of our plans.
Thank you, Susan. Excuse me. Yeah. So, yeah. There we go. So why a hub? Well, you guys envisioned it. You created the strategic vision that has created what we are presenting to you today. Your vision is what brought me to Rosedale. It was the passion that's in your vision of community connection and flourishing is what brought me to Rosedale. But why are we calling it a hub? It's because, as one person at the North Rosedale Ratepayers Association said, we, this church, is at the center of Rosedale. So we are in the center of this community. This community, Russ Day, who's the minister of Bloor Street United Church, called the Rosedale a library of trees. He said, you come off the hustle and bustle of Bloor Street into the hush of Rosedale. So we are a place where you can exhale and have a moment of respite, have a moment of connection. I know people who live in other parts of the city who come into Rosedale to walk because it's a quiet place, it's a sanctuary in the city. And I've been reflecting on that word sanctuary a lot as I've been getting ready to present to you today. Yesterday I walked, there's a place in the Gardner Underpass called the Bentway, and it's a walkway among concrete. And I started to reflect on it and Rosedale and sanctuary and what makes sanctuary. And it's just a place where you can feel like you belong. So that's what this is all about. We are a hub supporting human flourishing. People can flourish here. People can flourish in education. They can flourish in just coming together in conversation. It's a place where we can be the center hub of the spokes of the Rosedale community. So that's why a hub. And I love this picture of Bob Medlin and his, is it your brother-in-law? Excuse me, you like your brother-in-law. That's awesome. That, to me, symbolizes the community connection that we're talking about. It's the high fives. And that's what it means to be a hub. We flourish together at Rosedale. And you'll see the logo that we've created for the hub. Okay, Kristen, go for the next one. So what is the mission and vision of this hub? It's the mission and vision of Rosedale. Our mission, your mission, is to use our building as a hub for programming and activities serving our neighborhood and city. We will offer programming that fosters learning, growth, and service in the areas of arts and culture, health and wellness, and community and connections, all in support of human flourishing. The vision is to be a hub supporting human flourishing, conceiving of our congregation and our building as supporting human flourishing is not a ploy to convert people. It is simply a living out of what our congregation believes we are called to do as a church. We believe our energy should be focused outward on helping people in our neighborhood and, by extension, in our city. So when the three of us, took the vision that you created for the past 2 years and sat down with it and thought, well, what does this vision look like? What does it mean to be a center for human flourishing? We thought we need to ask others outside of this congregation what that means. So we did a survey, and we did Survey Monkey, and we did it, we had it at the Hollyberry Fair. Everybody who sat here for coffee got out the survey. Actually, everybody who walked through the door for the Hollyberry Fair, because I stood there, got a survey, got a postcard with the survey on it. The North Rosedale Ratepayers Association shared it around. We shared it on our Facebook. We shared it through social media. It was the community that responded to our survey. And these are the survey results. So these are the top five. And this is what we used to shape our strategic plan. These were the needs that people identified, and so we made sure that these were the needs in our strategic plan. So exercise programs, kind of like our Rimbala program, yoga, concerts, classical, coffee shop with seating. There is no place in Rosedale where you can go and get a cup of coffee and sit down and have a conversation with anyone. No place. Closest place is the Evergreen Brickworks, and even there it has to be a park bench outside. There's no place where you can just come and gather So that was one of the needs that was addressed. And then lectures with examples like teens' mental health. Homelessness was another one of the examples of lecture series. We already had a panel discussion on homelessness. And then seniors' care. There were so many responses in the survey from seniors who said, I lost my partner, I lost my friends during COVID, I'm lonely. And so that's what we used to base the strategic plan. So we gathered our information, we've set our goals, and now we're allocating our resources, and that's where you all come in. And we're going to implement the programming. And then, when we're finished implementing this pilot year, 2023 is we're calling our pilot year. We're testing and testing and testing again. And then we're going to do another survey to see if we're on the right track, if we're on the right path, or if there's something that we're missing. We're going to be constantly asking for input from the community who comes to everything here at Rosedale. Somebody said, so who is driving the hub? These three lovely people are driving the hub. Although it's mainly on my shoulders, which is great, because I eat, sleep, and dream about the hub. I wake up thinking about the hub. I had a dream last night that the church, my computer exploded during the presentation. And I woke up going, and I checked my computer. It's like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It hasn't exploded. So hopefully it doesn't explode while we're doing this. It's good so far. But I dream about the hub. And it's funny because I'll often come to meetings thinking I've already had a conversation with Sarah about some concert series, and she has no idea what I'm talking about. Because it was a conversation in my head while I dreamt.
But we're good team members,
so she's good at just pretending.
We catch up quickly.
And we've been working together quite well, and we have some really amazing plans that are coming forward, some partnerships with different places. I'm not going to say anything because we promised we wouldn't, but they're really exciting, and I'm really excited, and I dreamt about one of those on Friday night. So I was so excited. So these are the things that we are going to be covering. It's all in your pamphlet, and it's on in the kit as well if you want to download it. And if you didn't get one, please email me and I'll send it to you happily. I'll send you whatever you need to know about the hub, happily. So we have programs like Rimbala, which is a music and movement exercise program in Cobb Hall. We have yoga classes going to be coming in the fall in Cobb Hall. There'll be concerts coming up. We're working towards creating a coffee shop with seating. Phase one, we are creating a coffee stand, which will be at gatherings. So Rimbala, there'll be a coffee stand ready for you. There's ballet classes that happen here on Thursday afternoons. The coffee stand will be there for the parents who are waiting for the kids. We're going to start the coffee shop that way, doing a coffee stand, and then we're going to continue to create the coffee shop. You'll see some images at the end of this presentation. It's also in the plan that you have of what we're dreaming about. And we had an amazing interior designer work with us on the vision for the coffee shop. So that'll be realized by 2025, and that will be a revenue-generating coffee shop, so it'll be a smaller version of Starbucks. Not as many coffee, be more like Red Rocket. So it's going to be a smaller version of Red Rocket. If you know the Red Rocket brand in Toronto, then you know what we're visioning. We're doing lecture series. We did one on homelessness. We have a few others planned for the fall. The fall is going to be inundated with programming here at Rosedale. We're going to start a drop-in for seniors monthly, starting in September. Caregiver support, and under Kristen's leadership, the Courage and Renewal retreats will be offered as well, twice a year.
Yeah.
Once we'll do one in the fall, and then we'll go from there. We've begun the choir school. Sarah has begun a pilot with a choir school, and it's been a lot of fun to watch the kids. And Sarah, in leadership, you're so much fun in leadership at the choir school. I want to be a kid again, so it's just so much fun. So, yeah, everybody's always asking me, yeah, but is it going to be financially supportive? And so we've got some financial projections. We have a great partnership with the Artful Child, which is downstairs in the gym. They're one of our rental partners, but they've become a partner. So we're working with them on marketing and elevating their connection with Rosedale. So we're looking for more partners like that, that will be renters, but they'll be partners. And we've got a few feelers out there already, some connections, some friends that I have who know people. We've got some connections out there already. So things will be, by 2024, we'll have a very robust financial projection for supporting this plan. Our image for the hub is that the programs will not be revenue generating. We want to make sure that anybody can come to the programs. The revenue to support those programmings will come from our renters and from concerts and from a lecture series. So that's the model that we're going with, and the coffee shop. And that's the model that we're going with, the revenue to support the programming that happens here that helps people to flourish. Because we don't want people to have to pay if they can't pay for it. We want people to be able to flourish without worrying about the finances. So we're going to do the finances in another way. But we've got a really solid plan to make the revenue generation happen, and that it's solid, that we don't have to charge anything for any programming. I think that's... And then, so coffee shop, I promised you images. So this is one image of one side. So it's Clark Hall, which is upstairs. Clark Hall is not rented because the acoustics are horrendous. If Sarah's outside my office, I can't understand her because the reverb is just like, it's like 10 Sarahs bouncing off the walls. And so we're going to fix the acoustics. I've talked to a sound engineer about how to do it. He's given me a plan that's from $2,500 to $25,000. And so when we met with the designer, we talked about acoustics as well, and she said, well, with furniture and with carpeting, it helps to deaden the reverb. So this is an image of the cafe. The books will be, will be there for people to buy, to read, to borrow, to sit. This is a place where people can come, have a coffee, meet friends, come, meet, work. I have university students who are saying, when is this coffee shop going to be ready? Because I want to come and just hang out. And just none of them all. So there's the Clark Hall. And so you see that there's also a stage, because one of the thoughts is that we will have smaller concerts or workshops in this space as well. I've been in conversation with Paint Night, people who lead those paint nights, who want to use the space for a paint night as well. They're always looking for churches and space like this for their paint nights. So this is going to be a really great revenue generator. And so... So I've given you a lot of information. Are there any questions? Yeah. We're connected thanks to the North Rosedale Ratepayers Association and our social media. We're already connected. We'll do a postcard drop the way we did with the choir school into people's mailboxes when we're ready to launch. And so we're just working on that marketing plan now. And being connected to the North Rosedale Ratepayers Association has been a great boost because they are so connected to Rosedale as a whole. And so every time I share something on our Rosedale Facebook page, they share it widely. And so they're part of our marketing plan. We're going to do postcards to everybody's mailboxes in the neighborhood. And we're going to have big signs as well. So we've got a big plan, marketing plan, to get the word out. I have even been in conversation with like Now Magazine to see if there's a community space that we could put advertisements about our programming there as well. So.
A hub website as well. That's coming.
And there will be a website. Yeah, it's on the website as well.
We have to slip out, but I just wanted to say thank you because nothing but support. And so I didn't want our walking out look like we weren't supporting. It's quite the opposite, and huge confidence in the direction you're going. And we were involved early on hearing the direction, and this is just, so much work has clearly gone into this. So just so much gratitude for this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This sounds really exciting, and for all the planning in place, it seems like it's ready to go. But I just wondered, are there any similar models out there nationally or internationally that have been successful, that are in lessons learned?
Yeah, I used to work at the head office of the United Church of Canada, General Counsel Office, and the EDGE Network does innovation. So they were working, they did social innovation. So they were working with a number of churches who did similar things like this. Not many of them were successful. So I've learned why they weren't successful, and so I've learned from their failure so that I can make this successful.
Can I jump in, Ruth,
yeah,
as well? Yeah, like even just in Toronto, so the Trinity St. Paul Center on Bloor Street, is an example of a hub. Their bent is spirituality and the arts, right? Many of you may have gone there for a Tafel music concert. There are lots of churches doing really interesting thinking around being a hub, and the key is to be organic to who you already are and to not be who you're not. So Trinity St. Paul's based on their location. Fantastic venue, and it's been really successful for them, right? So we're just very conscious of the fact that we're a bit of a remove. We're not right on Bloor Street. That affects all of our planning, and also the extensive community consultation we've done. We've really tried to make this organic to this neighborhood and what the needs are here and what people are actually asking for here.
But we did consult with Trinity St. Paul's, for example, on how they created their center within their congregation, and so how they made it separate but not separate. Mm-hmm. So we have been in conversations with them. I've been talking to Beach United, who've been doing a lot of concert series about how they've done it, and Eglinton St. George's as well. So there are some churches that we can learn from, but as a community hub, we're fairly unique, but that's because we're unique to the community here.
And we've also been very conscious that Moordale House is also in our neighborhood, right? Offering community programs. And so they've got the kid market really sewn up. So we're sort of deliberately leaning into seniors as a main demographic. That was what we had in our head. And then community data ended up completely backing that up for us, saying, yes, this is actually a gap. So we're trying not to recreate anything that already exists in the neighborhood.
I probably shouldn't say anything, but I'm very supportive of the idea. It's just that I see a bunch of women at the front, and I saw a bunch of women at the front last week. Is there a way of including men? Are men included? I just think it's important to be organic to all people.
So what was the question? Sorry?
Where are the men? Why is it only women up at the front?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's something we ask ourselves at church a lot, don't we?
Yeah, maybe I could share with you, the working group has had men from the very beginning. Men are certainly represented. John Hall was here today, consulted on this edit, for example. Bob Duncanson has been intrinsically involved from the very beginning.
And will continue to be, because I'm not letting him go.
I could say something fairly gender biased right now, but I won't. It's got something to do with, well, who's showing up to do the work? But we certainly do try to reach out, of course. A good point.
Yeah. So, you know, this is on our mind all the time. And even in our worship services, you'll see most weeks we try and have a male voice reading scripture, participating in prayers, because we're super conscious of this. So everyone, please invite your males in your life to come. We would love some more male energy here.
Rimbala is led by a man.
Yeah.
Daniel Rubinoff does the Rimbala program.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. It'd be great to have dinner.
Okay, so Hillary.
I just want to fully endorse the Hub and to say that I have such strong support for this plan. I did want to ask what our plan is in terms of communications with the neighbors with regard to use it or lose it, because I don't think people fully understand that if they do not come to these programs, if they do not come to the coffee shop, this will become a condo. And so I think that in the context of everyone having a lot of competing options in their life, obviously that's not the first thing we want to lead with on our pamphlets to their door. But just when we launch in the fall, what kind of message we could have for the neighbors to say, not only are you invited, not only are you welcome, not only is it amazing, but we need to use this building, otherwise it will not necessarily be here for us.
I don't think we have to worry about that. From everything, from every conversation I've been having with different people in this community and telling them what we're planning, they're like, oh, that's exactly what we need. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's great. Oh, when is that happening? Because I'm going to come. So I don't think we have to worry about use it or lose it, warning them. I think people are just waiting for us to have these things, and they're going to come through the door. So, yeah.
And I also, think that as we're doing the surveys and hearing back from people, that's part of the organic nature that we've all been talking about. So if we're listening and we're in communication with people, it will continue to grow. This is grassroots, you know? So we're not promising something giant and fancy with a multi-tens of thousand-dollar price tag at this moment. We're working with the community to help them feel engaged, which also involves you, because you're a lot of the connectors. The congregation is one of the main connecting points between us as a church, us as a building, and the external community that we're seeking to engage. So as we're building programming, it's important for us to know, will our people who support us like this enough to recommend it to a friend? And it's kind of your job to recommend it to a friend, right? Because grassroots is all about word of mouth, and word of mouth sticks. I've built lots of music studios moving around. It takes 2 to 4 years for me to get a full client list. It's just like building a client roster when you start something new. And we need help to get those clients. So that's partially your job, which we hope that you'll take on.
Hi, I'm wondering, is there issues around zoning? This is a nonprofit group, or I'm hearing about coffee shop. Is that going to trigger things like parking requirements and other building improvements that are not necessary for a church nonprofit group, but as you bring in other groups, is there issues being triggered with the move, change of use of the building?
There will be zoning for the coffee shop, but parking, well, we don't have any parking. There is a zoning for the coffee shop. I've written a grant, actually, to cover the coffee shop costs, and that was part of the grant that I wrote, and it's for the United Church of Canada. And they're, like, the United Church Foundation, it's a Seeds of Hope grant with the United Church Foundation. And when I talked to the United Church Foundation about this, and they said, yeah, you'll need to do the zoning, but it won't affect our charitable status. And they think it's a great idea, so. And there are other churches that have done something similar. St. Paul's in Paris, Ontario, has the Raw Carrot, which is a company that sells soup. They make it in the St. Paul's kitchen and they sell it, and it's a business within the church, and it's the same sort of thing. So,
yeah. Ruth, I just want to commend you, and I want to commend the board for creating your mandate. That when I was chair of this board 7 or 8 years ago, these ideas were floating around. And the late, great Corey Copeland, who followed me as clerk, Corey had the idea of engaging the community. We have to bring them in. And so, you know, things happen when there are people that have the time and energy to do it. And we kind of fumbled a number of times because we really didn't have the time and the professional staff, but by creating your mandate differently, mm-hmm. than prior members of the ministry team, it's given us this luxury of really building up this vision. So I thank you for the work you've done so far. I think communication will be absolutely critical to the success.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had a long run in volunteer and philanthropic organizations. A lot of the reason people don't show up, I mean, your mantra really is, uplift your soul, you know, make a difference. A lot of the reason people don't give or don't show up is that they're never asked. So I don't know you well yet, Ruth, but I can see there's proactive cells in your body. You know, you have to ask people. You have to have, as I'm glad that Claire's here today, because that coat drive was so successful. Because you asked.
That's right.
So,
you don't ask, you don't get.
If it's, you know, fellow Torontonians are suffering, we need casseroles, will you make one? And that's the sign that week. And that's kind of stage one. And then when people pull through for you, you need to thank them and keep in touch and make sure they're on your kit list and on. Anyway, full support from the Anderson family.
Thank you. Yeah, that's fundraising 101 right there. You ask, and then you thank. Yeah.
Thanks, Ruth. That's wonderful concepts that everyone has come up with. I just want to ask if you mentioned about learning and hearing from the congregation and. I just wonder what provision you've made for feedback and for people giving you ideas.
What we've been doing is every time somebody gives us an idea, it's actually a book on my desk right now of every idea that somebody's given us. And so we just keep it in a pot and just gonna keep, and so we'll see when it fits in the plans. So, yeah. Yeah, happily give us your ideas. Just don't start with "you should." Just say, "Here's an idea, something you might want to think about." No.
And,
well, happily.
Trust that we hear you.
Yeah.
But there's a big strategy. Big strategy, and every idea doesn't always fit immediately in our big strategy.
We actually have a 5-year strategy, so. You've just seen the 2 years of the strategy, so you're going to see the rest at another time. But because we're still developing completely, but we do have strategy. But please still give us your ideas, because we want to know what you're hearing as well. So if you hear somebody say, "Oh, that was a great program," or "Oh, I wish they had done that," we need to know that. So please just keep telling us stuff. And so I just wanted to share one thing.
Because Patsy, you're right. My job is very different than any other minister job, which was one of the things that attracted me to this position. Was it wasn't just the traditional minister role. So you're going to see less and less of me on a Sunday, because I'm here Monday to Friday, sometimes Monday to Saturday. You're going to see less and less of me on Sundays. Actually, this will be you'll see me at the end of the month, but. Then, yeah, so you'll see less and less of me in worship. But come in during the week, and I'm here.
Some of you also may be wondering about spirituality. How come there's no overt spirituality to the hub, you know? Isn't that what we're supposed to be about? Why isn't that there? And so that's one of my questions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, everything is spiritual.
Yeah.
So everything that we do is spiritual. Rob Bell is one of my favorite authors, and he did a thing called Everything is Spiritual. And somebody said to him once, I'm just not into spiritual things. And he said, well, do you breathe? And the person said, yes. And he said, too late. You only have one life, and it's a spiritual life. Mm-hmm. So you can't ask Jesus, how's your spiritual life? Because there's no such thing. It's just life. Mm-hmm. And so everything we do is spiritual. And I think that's why this congregation chose to hire a minister rather than a project manager, mm-hmm. To make sure that spirituality is there. You know, I keep talking about the breath, the inhale and the exhale. Everything we do, everything that the hub is, even bringing people coffee. I've been reading a book called Love is the Business Plan, where this woman created a coffee shop called Greater Than Coffee, because coffee is the accompaniment for what we do and how we pay it forward. So everything we do is spiritual.
And yeah, and I'll just, can I tack on to
yeah.
Ruth that,
yeah.
you know, the whole inspiration for all of this came out of our spirituality here and how we follow Jesus here. Talking to all of you 2 years ago as we were coming up with this vision, the questions we asked were spiritual. We asked you to describe what church was like for you, and you said it's about community, and it's about compassion, and it's about making a contribution to the world. And so in developing the hub, those are the values that we're trying to infuse into all of the hub activities. That's what we hope everybody will feel, community, that they'll feel this is a compassionate place, that they'll have a place to give. But no, they don't have to be Christian. They can be of another faith. They don't have to be any faith. We're just trying to open the doors, blow the doors off, as Ruth has said
yeah.
many times, and just truly open this place up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's community and spirituality is everywhere. And also, I'm gonna pull my age in a little here. I'm a bit young for a church community.
No, you're not.
Well, I know, but it's sometimes. Sometimes you know, I'm still kind of knocking in at like a lower percentage of age group, let's say. And when I'm talking to my friends who are second generation atheists, they have no clue what the church is. They have nothing against it, but they absolutely have no clue, and they don't know how to enter it, and they don't want to disrespect it, so they don't enter it. And they're scared by it because of the things they hear on the news about some Christians. And so to me, my personal calling here when I got called is that we have an opportunity with no strings attached to perform reparations with the community and demonstrate Christian love without conversion. So being able to help people learn how to enter and feel safe, that our doors are open, and you get to be you, and no one's gonna come up to you and try and ask you to be anything else. And so that's where I come from with that question. So it is still spiritual.
Yeah.
And it is community, and it's also building relationships again with the community and demonstrating a real Jesus pre-Roman relationship.
Yeah. Real Jesus pre 1930 translation.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we be just as open as we can and welcoming as we can, and open to whatever the Spirit teaches us here.
And as a queer woman, I have so many friends who've been damaged by the church. And so I come at it as creating a place where they will feel safe to come into. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and I really support what you're doing. Thank you very much for your leadership on this, all of you. I do want to say, and Ruth and I have had a discussion on this already, and she probably wished I wouldn't take the mic and talk about it.
But oh, no, I'm glad you are.
Pardon?
I'm glad you are.
When I look at the plan, I can't help but think a unifying and pulling up in the community would be similar to what Patsy mentioned of a project, such as what we've seen happen with the Coats, but to do it with right in our plan, working on affordable housing and communities, and that it's very clear we're taking a strong stance in the justice route. We know there's lots of charity and lots of groups working on this, but would this not be a good place to really pull all the expertise together and see, and people think, oh, maybe that will decrease our crime, or what's going on in healthcare, or whatever, if we actually worked hard, yep. I think that would be a draw card.
Yep.
Beyond. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, that's part of the long range planning. Yeah. We've been talking about doing a summit around homelessness. All Saints Church and Community Center, which is at the corner of Sherbourne and Dundas, just had a panel on Tuesday. And they had somebody from Los Angeles talk about creating a union for the homeless so that they have rights to affordable housing and health care and stuff. So I thought about you when I read that, and I thought, we need to add that to the mix. So, yeah, yeah. Because one thing we learned with the panel that we had in March was there's a passion for fixing this crisis that's homelessness in our city.
Sorry, I just want to add a little bit to that. Thank you again for your question, Claire. And you and I have been talking a little bit about this homelessness and the need for advocacy. And I think it may not be a hub-specific project right off the bat, but rather a social ministries. We're looking at putting together a working group focused on the homelessness crisis in Toronto. Yeah. And maybe we can use this mayoral election as a little bit of an impetus to get some attention on it. Also, I think it's been suggested that we should reach out to Diane Sachs, who is our representative, and apparently has some good ideas on this, as well as the environmental impact, which is another thing I know that you and I were speaking about. So this won't be hub necessarily, this is more social ministries, but I thought I'd take this opportunity to just throw it out there now.
Or it could be a partnership. Thank you for listening. Please let me know if you have any other questions or concerns or anything. And so thank you. Thank you. And thank you so much for creating this vision and for risking. I know it's hard for congregations to risk by changing and saying we need to do something differently. So thank you for having that courage to say, no, we need to do something different. We need to change in some way so that we can live again and so that we can flourish in a new way. So thank you so much for having that vision, which caused me to say yes to come here.
And I want to take this opportunity to thank Ruth to thank Susan for their incredible work on this presentation and all the many, many hours of preparation and work and consultation they have done widely to get us to this place. Thank you both. We appreciate you. Thank you. And thank you all for your attention and for being here. And so, as Ruth said in the presentation, you know, we do take your ideas very seriously. So please, if you have feedback that you didn't get a chance to share today and you want to pass it on after having heard this presentation, please do email Ruth, email Susan, or myself, or Sarah, whoever. And thank you. Have a great afternoon.